I can't see. Smudge in my glasses. Smudge.
You can clean your glasses and do a podcast. I think you're a multi-talented, multi-faceted human being.
I can't see.
Yeah, no.
I can see. It's all good. I can see now. Ready?
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 88th episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for September 2018. In this episode, we catch up on everything, including the summer campaign and shoutouts. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of the show. And now on to the episode.
And welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast, episode 88. My name is Jack.
And I'm Rob.
And we are going to do a little bit of a dog's breakfast of a show today. We got a lot of stuff catching up to do. So let's get into it.
Yes, usually we'd have news, but there's not much news. We will talk about the campaign later, but for now we're going to do a little unboxing because we did get the rest of our Warpath pledge a while ago, but we never got to talk about it. So we're going to just mention a couple things because I'd like to talk about them. Is the vehicles from the Warpath?
Yes, we've got a backlog of stuff because of Gen Con. And so we've been quite busy, so we're going to be touching on some stuff that probably everyone else is already sick of, but
we'll give our impressions on certain things.
Yes.
And the first thing we're giving our impression on is the Chira/Chroma, the Asterion vehicle for Warpath. As you can see, we have the bits taken apart. When I got the first one, I have two. I got one at Gen Con Mantic Knight, and I also got one with a Kickstarter. The first one I got, it didn't have this one little bit to attach the turret to the vehicle. And I was like, oh, that sucks. It just didn't have it. That's why I got another one at Gen Con. So the first one I built as a troop transport. I think it's a Chira is the troop transport. Or
one, yeah.
I can never remember which one's which. And which is very cool because I have to buy tons of marionettes now to mount on the back because it actually has little mounting brackets. And I really like it. Somebody else, do you remember who was in Discord? Who did it backwards, put the nacelles pointing the other way, and looked really cool.
No, but it did have like
a... Yeah, sorry we couldn't remember who you are, but we will shout you out sometime because I can't remember who you were.
Yes, when it pops up
I think
up
we
again.
Actually did talk about it. I think it might have been a shout out when we showed it.
Maybe.
But anyways, it's really cool. It's huge. The Chira and Chroma is huge. But I was talking about that little piece I was missing, so that's why I got the second one because I wanted to build the one with the gun on top. So I got it at Gen Con. I got it in, and it was also missing the exact same part. So I don't know if this is like a systematic issue or I just got really unlucky. But yeah, so I contacted Elvis at Mantic and he was able to send me that piece out. So I actually built both vehicles and I like them a lot and I'm going to paint them soon. And you didn't ever got to play with one because I built them both.
That's fine. That's fine. You put your hard-earned shekels down on the table. You said, barkeep, I need two of these, and that's up. That's all you.
Yeah, and the second one, the other vehicle we're talking about is the mule. Like, we already talked about Hornets and the Enforcer Interceptors, but this time the other vehicle and the Forge Father stuff a long time ago. The other vehicle we're waiting for was the mule. We did get two of these, and I built one as the GCPS, and I believe you built one as the
Plague. Yes.
It is a lot of pieces, a lot of little pieces.
Yes.
And no instructions. So it was hard to figure out where everything was going because there's pieces you're like, how the hell does this fit in? And you just keep spinning it around until it actually, you're like, oh, it goes there.
Yeah.
Did you have that issue too?
I would say that even like a Mantic video that's explanation or something that...
Pat did it for the Hornet, but he never did it for the Mule.
He was working on it, but by the time we built ours, it wasn't out. It may be out now. I don't know. But even something I can understand that the packaging is such that the as bare minimum, so that you're not paying for packaging, fancy packaging. The customer is getting the item, but it does take a little bit of...
That was the first one where I was like, this needs instructions. I didn't even think the Hornet needed instructions. The Interceptor was super easy. The Chira was and Chroma were pretty easy. This was the first one I was like, okay, there's a whole suspension thing.
Yeah.
There's like three-part suspension on every wheel, and it's cool looking when it's built, but it is not... You have to really piece it all together, like dry fit everything. Make sure you're not missing any pieces. And some of the pieces don't even look like they should fit where they do, and...
Yeah. If you're really looking to build one, take the time and dry fit or find instructions. There must be something somewhere.
Yeah, and even check, like I checked a lot of pictures trying to see what the suspension looked like. Yeah. Like trying to look in there and, oh, where's this piece go? Where's this one go?
The Hornet had a couple tricky bits where if you could have went the wrong way if you started getting glue happy before you were dry fitting. Yeah. But this, I think, just...
Even more so.
Yeah.
And that's about it. did you paint yours yet?
Yes.
Yes. So you painted your mule.
Yeah.
We'll have pictures of that. You did a greenish.
I did it as a, what would happen if the GCPDS did it and then the plague got a hold of it. So yeah. It's camouflaged, but it's got all the parts because one of the wheel wells is jacked up. Cause one of the replacement parts for the plague is like
hubcaps almost.
It comes all folded up in spots, and it's got a lot of good...
It's got, like, spikes and stuff, too.
I didn't put any spikes on it.
No, you didn't do your spikes?
No, I'm hoarding spikes now. I have spikes. You gave me the spikes from yours. I have the spikes from mine. I have some other stuff from the Hornet that I haven't decided which version I'm going to do yet, so...
Oh, you haven't built the Hornet yet?
I've built it. It's not painted.
You can add more stuff to it?
I could either. So I have some chained up corpses and some spikes for days at this point.
that's not even anything to do with Dead Zone.
Yeah, no, that is just, I'm on the prowl. Ed Gein keeps the thermostat on high?
Why?
So his furniture doesn't get goosebumps.
Ew. He's your hero.
I don't know. That got dark.
Where did that come from?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's about it for the unboxing. We have all the vehicles. Are we not missing anything?
No.
We haven't painted them all yet. You've painted most all of the ones you had, except for the Hornet, you're just saying.
Yeah.
But you painted an Interceptor, and you painted the Mule.
Mule, and I have a Hornet that's in construction.
And I haven't painted any of them. I have a mule which is here at your house,
constructed but not painted.
I have a Chira or a Chroma that's here,
not painted.
And I have a Chira or Chroma at home. I have two Interceptors at home, two or three, and a Hornet at home that I've never painted.
And I've got the tunnel, the bore.
Oh yeah, you. That's right, Vermin. I don't have any. Yeah. You have the tunnel runners and you have the tunneler.
The tunneler. You painted
that. Yep. And the Forge Father tanks you didn't have. Benny, did you get a Forge Feather? Yes, you got a Forge Feather tank.
That's painted as well.
And I did I paint mine? Yes, I did. I painted and I magnetized it. And I have the Halter half track, which I did paint.
I need to get some magnets. I'll show you afterwards the disgrace that is my turret situation.
Yes. I have tons of magnets.
Well, thanks.
I keep forgetting to bring them.
There's a guy in the desert just crawling, and you're walking by the canteen going, I got plenty. I don't know what's going on.
But yeah, I'll bring some. We never remember. And I think that covers the Warpath vehicles, which we'll never use in Warpath because Warpath is lesser than Dead Zone.
Yes. You'll probably see them when we're taking pictures of our games as terrain or
objectives
or as part of like a, you know, maybe a function of some sort of our creation. But we don't play Warpath, so they're going to.
Yep. They're going to look nice on the shelf. They are all very cool, but.
The Interceptor is, when I did that, it looks like a model that you would.
What is your favorite vehicle then?
The Tunneler, I like how that turned out very much, but, I seem to be the only one. The Interceptor, I think, turned out really well. I maybe go with the Interceptor.
My favorite is the Mule, I think. I like the Mule to look a bit the best. I like it's very detailed. I haven't painted yet, but I really like the look of the Mule. And Interceptor, I maybe I wanted more out of it. I don't like it as much as some of the other ones. Oh, the cheering chrome, the steering vehicle is probably my favorite. That thing is huge and awesome. Yeah.
You've been a fan since when they brought up the concept art.
Now, if the steering would just get a Strider, I think I'd be very happy.
Something that's
or like a bigger flyer, bigger like a bigger version of their like the Sky Razor.
Because their Strider would just be a Cypher scaled up, basically. Like it's just a
or it would do something different. Yeah, like do a bigger plane or something,
or a bigger marionette,
just a giant marionette.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know they don't want to give everybody equal things.
No.
But I think the poor Asterion's got at least give them something.
Yeah, you can't always go, oh, well, this needs this. This faction needs that. Because eventually all the factions are
but give them something.
Not special.
It would be cool if maybe a super armored marionette or something that's like bulky, like a Ripper suit or something. That size, but
like,
bulkier?
Like a size 3 with like some armor plates, but have that same look, but everything's just chunky.
And like both his arms are no rifles.
Like twin no rifles? Twin no rifles. Yeah, that's something.
But we all know twin no rifles aren't no rifles, so they don't count for that ability.
Well, I would disagree.
On that, we'll take a small video or audio break, and we'll be back.
Hello, this is Martin. Fashion, t-shirts, mugs. Dead Zone, the podcast.
And welcome back. We have returned, and we're going to discuss something that's a hot topic. Our hot take on a hot topic.
Hot topic? The store? With all the goth girls go to?
I suppose so. I don't know. Not my thing.
Classic.
Yes, it's been a while. We're going to be talking about the campaign.
Yes, the Dead Zone campaign. You can go to deadzonecampaign.com. And this is the third week. We were very busy. The first week was like, it was the first weekend. Well, it was like a week and then a weekend. But I think the weekend was Labor Day, wasn't it?
It started on the Monday of the week.
Which, by this time comes this, oh, it'll be week 4. But
yes,
currently it is week 3.
And then last week we were...
It's busy time. Like, it's... Yeah. This is... But we finally got some games in.
Yes.
But before we talk about our games, let us just do an overview of the battle for Starfall currently. We had different... was it parts of the planet, I guess?
Yes. If you haven't gone to the website... I recommend, like most people have, at least as a
looking. Well, I hope so. Yeah.
Even if you have no intention of playing in the campaign, or but you should.
Yeah. But we'll sign up and go like everybody's battle reports, even if you're not playing, because you can sign in and like read the battle reports and like them and like the hobby, because that you can win. People can win prizes, and also it's just nice to be a part of the community and show that you like Dead Zone.
Right. So even if you just go into Snoop, it's pretty snazzy. But like you were saying, it's the one planet with a bunch of events that are happening that you can play any faction you want. And depending on which week it is, they release a new it's a mission, but more they add a little sprinkle of niceness in there that we'll touch on.
Yeah, the first one's called Command Post Delta. It's just the beginning one. It's just a patrol mission, no special stuff, just to ease everyone in. And then the next one was...
When I saw that, I was like, oh, little did I know that they ramp it up pretty quick.
Yeah, because the next one is Devil's Run, which is this one, it's a Scour mission, which we didn't play Scour because we don't like Scour. But this one has environmental hazards. So there was things like, I think we'll get into it, but we had the toxic mist.
Yes.
And There's also things like electrical storm, which screws up constructs and vehicles. And there was earthquakes which could just hit people randomly. And the other one was, what was it for? Rain. So it was reduced to your line. Everybody over four range had a minus one to hit. So that's kind of cool. So like, even if you play the same thing multiple times, it could be totally different every time.
Right, right. So some people might have got one that just happened to be, horrific against their particular faction at that particular time. The one we got
didn't really affect much. Yeah.
Very little, but.
And then the last location is the mining facility J28. It's this one was hilarious because the Veermen started as a third faction come in and start wrecking havoc on everyone,
and they did.
And it's a search and destroy mission. So you're trying to get just the it's getting objectives, and so every round randomly stalkers show up, Veerman stalkers, which was really fun. And so far, it looks like by far the GCPS is winning, which is crazy. The Plague are not close second, but second, and then we get the Forge Fathers and Nameless coming in the third and fourth, and then it's everybody else is dropped down there. The Veermen and the Maison Labs are pretty low. For a long time, the Marauders were low, but all of a sudden people started playing them. Every week there's also random things. Because Marauders were so low, they gave the Marauders a buff and helped them for one set. And I assume that they're probably going to do the same thing for Maison to try to pump those guys up too.
Yeah, yeah.
And the site is amazing. It's got all these fake news stories and a lot of cool stuff going on, and the designer, he's a great designer anyways. And it's way better than the official Warpath site, and we got word from him that they're going to keep it around and use it as a hub for Dead Zone, and they're going to have all the old campaigns on there that you can go back to, which is great. Because it is a great resource. You can go to the Mantic site page and it explains every faction, and you can click on it and it'll send you to the Mantic site so you can buy the ones you like. And it is a great resource. So I can't wait to see that after this ends and keep it going.
Yeah, but so far they've knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, we were scared. I think we even talked about it on the show that we weren't sure if we talked about it with Coach. We weren't sure if the site could hold up to this kind of traffic and it's worked perfectly. There's a few glitches here and there. Like I know
picture size.
Yeah, the picture sizes are, it only allows 2 megabits, which is hard with phones nowadays. All the phones are bigger than that. And, megabytes. I think it said megabits. Megabytes. What am I living in the 80s?
And we tried putting that, that 3-inch floppy drive in there. It just would not.
But anyways, it's working great. And we'll go on to our games. How's
that
sound? Yes,
yes. We just powered through three.
We finally got to play some games.
Yep.
Yeah, so the first one was Patrol. Just the planet. Everybody's just landing on the planet pretty much. And you're getting your feet under you and you run into another faction. I was playing Marauders.
And I was my virginal attempt at the Maison Labs.
And the first game, it was a good game. We were back and forth. I think it ended up being 60. We were only playing 150 points because we wanted to get a lot of games in.
Yes.
And it ended up 16-12. I think the first game, Jack won.
Yeah, it was close.
There was times I was like, I won this, and then it swung one way. Jack was like, oh, I got it, and then it would swing back.
Yeah.
And then finally Jack pulled it out.
At one point, I had not successfully done anything. Round three, and I'm like, I have not successfully done a thing. And then Coiner Splat, the attrition of just.
Yeah, he kept rolling. Every time I kill someone, he'd have a splat, so they'd come back as a plague victim.
And it was.
Plague victim, is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Yeah. And those guys aren't great, but they fight on fours, and that's pretty good. And he just kept bringing them back, and that one, I just could not kill him enough. He kept bringing more guys.
Yeah, yeah. So. Again, it was a fun game.
Yep. And then the second mission was the, like we said, the one at the Devil's Run, I think it's called.
Yes.
And that's the one with the environmental stuff. And we got the toxic smokes randomly showing up on the board. It never really affected us. It never landed on any of us. And I think there was one time it blocked my line of sight. That was about it.
Yeah, it landed close to me a couple times, and I could have possibly used it for blocking line of sight, but
it wasn't effective as a toxic smoke because I didn't have indirect and Jack had fight guys, so he could run in and fight to kill me, but we were never in a square that it happened. We wish we had gotten the earthquake one because that was a lot more random.
Yeah, but you get what you get.
Yep. And once again, just keep playing it and rolling because it's random, which, a weather effect you get. And, that one, it was close. We've decided we don't like Scour because we don't like playing with items.
Again, time is of the essence. So we did a peeled back the onion that was the game and we did, recon differently, a faster,
yeah, quicker version. Faster recon because we hate regular recon.
And we didn't do the items because the time it takes to sprinkle everything out there, we wanted to get up to date with the campaign tonight. And that was it.
Yeah. And the recon we're doing is however much you won by, that's how many scouts you got. Three scouts.
Done and done.
Yeah, super easy. And that's what it should be anyways. So it just makes it easier. And so we played that one. And it was this time we did Breakthrough. We rolled randomly and we got Breakthrough. Breakthrough, neither of us did Breakthrough because our points, I think you had a 2-point model and I had 1 3-point model. It would have taken, we could have ran our whole army off and we still wouldn't have got 16 points. So it ended up just a free for all. And in the end, Jack did table me. So I think we were at the time, we were at like 9-8.
Yeah, it was very, it was close, very
but
close.
Then he tabled me. So he got full points. So he got 16.
I think it was 4-6 or something.
Yeah, something like
it
that.
Was very close.
Fighting back and forth.
I laughed so many times.
Well, that's when I killed the Chovar, his Chovar in the first game, but the second game is where that Chovar really got into my craw, and I had to make sure I murdered him because
for no reason at all. Because
he got jumped on my leader and caused him to die, and then that was the second game, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, he was walking down an alley, and then you jumped out with your leader. I don't know, you were mugging him, and he fought back somehow.
There was a lot of like just people that shouldn't have died dying. And but then, the Chovar, I took everything I could. I was jumping people around. I sacrificed people just so I could kill that Chovar. But in the end, I did lose because of that.
You were very single-minded. And while you were doing that, I just made a bunch of...
But I think, once again, I think I killed your leader and you killed my leader. And I think... No, did... Yeah, he died in that one too, didn't he? Or maybe he survived that
one. He survived that one.
I think the first one he died in. And then he survived the second one. Quainer was... he was secondary target. Jack also had a flamethrower guy, which was causing me trouble in the first game, so I had to keep killing him. I had to command. My team was pretty much all commandos, except for Hulk. So I had a commando captain, and every time I rerolled with his splat, I rolled worse, so that wasn't effective. And but I did have two guys with the HMGs and hollow sights, which is nice.
Yes.
So they were my snipers, and they were working well. Jack had to keep trying to kill those guys because when they survived, it was... Major.
When they got the high ground, that's when things went real bad.
They kept getting flamethrower. That's why I had to kill the flamethrower guy because every time either Quainer or those guys would use their it burns on them.
Yeah.
And so Jack tabled me that one, but only after forever. The Hulk was fighting three of the plague victims forever, and he couldn't break away for the life of him. But those guys couldn't kill him either. And the one time Jack rolled, I don't know, 8 successes with 8.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I'm dead this time. Roll 8, 8, 8. I rolled 8 successes to survive. It was like ridiculous. And, but he eventually did go down to their withering, attacks.
Yeah.
They'd gnawed on his ankles until he fell down. And then the third game was on the mining area. And this one was the craziest one because stalkers randomly show up on the board. So we're like stalkers. Who cares? What are these guys going to do?
And it's like the zombie rules, they're all right. We would have made any changes when we did the playtesting.
Yeah, this was more like what we wanted, where they just pop up randomly in the areas.
It's very much like,
but
I'm glad they saved it for the Veermen because thematically, out of these murder holes, these Veermen were just popping up.
They never did pop up where we were, but they popped up very close to where we were.
The first one that popped up, he earned his pay.
And we were just like fighting each other. I think the first round we both lost like 4 guys. It was just a murder spree.
Yes.
And so then all of a sudden these vermin start popping up. And we're like, whatever. And then one guy came behind me, so I killed him. But then the end of that round, one of the Veermen ran up on Coiner, killed him.
He was close enough to my leader, and then he just walked up and shivved him.
Yeah. And then, one jumped on my sniper, killed him. He was on objective, which I would have won in a round earlier if I.
Yep.
And, they just kept popping up everywhere. At the end, we said, I think I had two guys left and you had two guys left. You had two plague victims left when I got 16 points.
Who weren't originally plague
victims. Yeah, they were other guys who died.
I was just holding on hope. Eventually, the Veermen were keeping me in the game.
Cause you kill one and it would resurrect him as a plague victim.
You would have smoked me so much faster, but those Veermen, A, had a mean streak in them.
Yeah, those Veermen kept killing people. And then, so we had these, I think there was more Veermen on the board than us at the end. So we're like, the Veermen actually won that final battle. But that was a really fun game too.
Yes.
Cause it was almost tabling each other at that point. I had the Hulk and, one sniper left. I think I had my one of the snipers left who actually was able to kill that one guy that was on him, I think.
And the leader, I think you had your leader.
No, my leader got killed my leader got killed by a rat, I believe.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, he got killed by a plague victim that was wounded. That shouldn't have been able to kill him.
That's right.
And he got jumped.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, I'm done for, but I've got to make this Hail Mary.
It was closer than it should have been. Because at one point I had like five models and Jack had like two. But then every time he killed a rat, he'd bring him back as a plague victim.
But the rats were a force.
We were like, whatever, but they kicked butt.
And we rolled for no rat appearing twice.
Yeah, and they still did good.
And they were still. So imagine if you just rolled, if every time you rolled for two rats.
Because what it was is we kept wounding each other. So every time a rat ran in, he'd get extra dice because if we were wounded.
And it was we couldn't fully engage each other knowing that once we were done, the rats.
It was neat because the way that works is at the end, you go in order of the way you're activating. And you each activate the rats on the board. So my army was a lot smaller than Jack. So almost always I was first. But then I killed so many guys the first round. Jack started going first. And all of a sudden those rats were on me.
Yeah. And you pulled back.
I did. I ended up in a little corner, almost the corner I started in.
You went from dominating to, I've got these furry little vermin that I got to.
A grenade destroyed a lot of your security. They didn't die, but they knocked them down. I was able to kill them after that.
Yeah.
I put a grenade on my Hulk, so that was helpful. Because the Hulk has a heavy weapon, so it was good to be able to move and throw a grenade and then get into position.
Yeah.
And I kept, since my recon was so much better, I kept winning recon. So I kept getting scouts, which was nice. It didn't help me the first two games. The last game, it definitely helped.
Yeah. But we had fun, and I think we're caught up now. So I think it's nice that we started now because the first week, everyone it was like a kid on prom night. Everyone was in there it was a free for all. Now hopefully we're gonna put our battle reports in tomorrow or something.
Yeah, we'll get them. We tried to put them on the phone, but once again, because of picture size, you can't. We could have just put the results in, but we want to put them as battle reports.
Yeah, yeah. We'll take the time and do it the way we want to do it rather than. So, hopefully everyone else is, going to resurge and see more. So, yeah, that's the campaign.
So both me and Jack helped the Maison and Marauders a little bit. Maison won twice there, so they're going to move up the rankings, hopefully.
Depending on how many people are playing, one person playing two games is probably not going to be
might help a little bit.
Drop in the bucket, but.
Yeah, they said there's already hundreds of battle reports in there, which I'm so happy for. Yeah. That there's so many done. And I think that's the campaign. We'll see what next week brings. We don't know yet, but hearing this, you'll know. So have fun.
I think we'll keep up now and
wait another 3 weeks and then it'll be the end just before the end. That's true.
We could.
It's 6 weeks. I think we're halfway through right now.
Yeah.
Fun times. And, playing those games, playing two armies that we never play. I never played Marauders, but I said I'd play them when I reheaded my guys. And Jax obviously never played Maison because they're brand new.
Right.
So playing those two, it's so different than what we're so used to. We're so used to like, oh, you're playing Plague and I'm playing Enforcers or Asterians, you know, it's like we get bored with it. And that playing these two new factions, it was amazing how different they were.
At one point during that second match, I said, I'm just playing the Plague right now.
Yeah, I got to change my tactics.
Because I just charged in. It's breakthrough. And then you just you create a firing line up.
And I was like, I'm playing Enforcers.
You said, I'm playing Enforcers. And I'm thinking, okay, well, you had some guys that could do the Enforcer things. My guys were not going to be able to play.
Yeah, them. Yeah. It was harder because you didn't have the backup. You didn't have Plague Dogs or anything to get there quick.
So, yeah, it was fun.
Oh yeah, it was a lot of fun playing those different factions and playing different missions and different weather effects and those Veermans jumping at the end and popping up everywhere. That was a really fun game.
I'll say it's rekindled. I enjoyed the last two games so much that it's rekindled my Dead Zone.
Yeah. So yeah, for sure. It's they are so different from what you're normally just playing normal games.
Yeah.
We never did play secret missions because, once again, we wanted to do them quick. So
yeah,
we didn't want to complicate what we were doing. I'm sure we'll get to once the campaign's over, we'll go back to trying these new stuff.
Yeah,
we haven't got a chance to really play through too much of it, but it's fun playing new factions and it's fun playing new types of games.
Yes.
So once again, we'll take almost a commercial.
Not anymore.
Commercials suck.
No, a music break.
A music interlude, and we're back to do some shout-outs.
Hey, this is Mark Zielinski from the Counter Charge Podcast, and you're listening to Rob and Jack on Dead Zone, the podcast. Fantastic.
It is shout-outs time.
Welcome back. We're doing shout-outts. We have quite a few. So we like doing shoutouts.
Again, we're in a backlog.
Last month we didn't do them.
So. We were pretty busy, so.
We had Coach on, and Coach doesn't let us do shoutouts.
No, it's the vitriol he has for humanity.
Yeah,
at large.
He hates anybody who isn't his, like anybody else's stuff. He refuses to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm like,
he doesn't even do the blog anymore, the vlog, because he said, I'm sick of showing other people's work.
I say, Nicodemus does some good work, and he says, I want Nicodemus dead.
I think it's because Coach is a vampire, so he's a natural enemy to the vampire hunter.
That's a good theory.
I think that might be why. I don't think it's got anything to do with that. That's separate from this.
it's as rational as other theories I've heard. So,
our first shout out is Carl Newbold. Hopefully, I said your name right. He's on Twitter, CB Newbold, and he did just one picture. But it is cool. It is a little Forge Father, and it's his first. I believe it's his first Dead Zone mini that he's did.
Really?
Yep. And it's cool looking.
Clearly, it's not his first mini. That is nice
first
looking
Dead Zone one. Yeah.
And he went with a blue, which is a favorite
kind
of yours.
Grayish blue.
Yeah, like that looks. You could feel that, and I would go, okay, that's yep. Right in your wheelhouse.
And he did red arms and neat glowing green eyes. I really like it. Next is George Adset Knutson, and he's George Socially on Twitter, and he did a bunch of terrain, and I like this terrain because he put ramps, so you can get vehicles up higher.
That is, the ramps don't work in the game for obvious reasons, and things can't get up to because of the rules, can't go up on the, this is a nice hybrid, this is the culmination of someone who wants you to be able to get up high, but also needs flat spaces.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it's in the years we've been doing this, that this is the first time I've seen it.
Yeah. That's what I like about, this Terrain Crate now, I guess it's called, is that, people are finding always new ways of using this. He used the like 45 degree ones with the half squares or half. Yeah. I guess they're half squares. And, he used five of them, and they equal two squares when you put them with the 45 degree angles. And he was able to make a ramp that's only two squares long, but it goes up a whole square.
That goes up the whole square, but has two very defined level places where you could put your guy.
Yep. Yeah, to stop if you stop halfway. So I really like that. He also did some industrial stuff using like old cans and really rusty. An industrial board Once again, I like seeing the Dead Zone stuff mixed with other stuff. And, you can see this is where he put the ramp in there, but it's all like, looks like it's rusted out, like an old, factory.
We like lived in, and we've got some stuff that looks real rusted, but his looks, beyond that. It looks like a junkyard.
Yes. At least for that, thing. And then he did a outpost. It looks a really cool modular outpost where you can move the walls around and make a, make all different things. And I really liked the way he did. Once again, he's using angles in interesting ways where it's all modular, but it fits together in cool ways. And you can see the multiple ways that he did it.
Yeah. I don't want to know how much George spent on
terrain crate.
Terrain crate. That's a lot. He's got the landing pad. He's got,
support ones, the 45 degree ones. So there they, that's the fortified.
But it, by the looks of it, it looks like he was intending to build multiple full boards. Mm-hmm. So maybe he's got,
it could be a
group that he's plays with or something. There was definitely a conscientious effort to build, looks like, two or three distinct, different boards.
And next we have Dale Holton. He's showing off his enforcers on some cool terrain too, but really we're looking at the enforcers here. And they're all almost cobalt gray with blue highlights on some of their stuff, on their weapons and on their shields. But he did a bunch of them.
Yes, and his strider has the look at the end of the weapon there with the
caution
tape job and stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of them. Look at them all.
Yeah.
That's a Warpath army right there.
And it's similar to what I did for some of my enforcers with the blue and silver. And I like that combination for these guys. But he even has jet bikes and he's got pathfinders. He's got everything in this army.
Well, good job.
Yep. Great look of enforcers. And keeping on with the enforcers, we have Petr Nosevich, maybe?
Could be.
Sorry about butchering your name.
Yeah, I'm glad you take the lead in this when we're doing the shoutouts because I looked at that and went, I couldn't do that. And when you said that, I said, he might have got that.
It was close. Once again, it's a peacekeeper and he's on it looks like a cork base, but he's very weathered and he looks beaten down and he's got I like his shield with it's all weathered up. And it's the black and yellow stripe.
To me, it looks like Buzz Lightyear has had enough of your and he's coming for payback. it's like I spit on your grave, but with Buzz Lightyear.
And it's really good rust effects on this thing. Look at the armor, like on this thigh there. It looks like it got ate through. And the cork he made look like a road. And then there's a road sign with a nuclear symbol behind him. And it's like a diorama, kind of, I think he was going for here.
Yeah, I think that this is this isn't the game piece. Display.
Just showing off.
Yeah. Showing off.
Next, we have a single picture, but it's by Chris Prince. And it is the first of many nameless factions we'll be seeing. And this one I like because it's a lot of nameless. You see either the purple and red, like the house ones, or you see a lot of blues, you see a lot of greens.
Yep.
This one's all browns and beiges and like pale, like the tentacles and everything is very pale and squishy looking.
Yeah, the pale faces of them really look gross. It's unsettling.
Yeah, the paleness seems to be more unsettling. I do like the ogres in the background with their shells look almost crust-like.
Yes, these do look like sea creatures.
Yes, and dirty kind of way, yeah.
Yeah. Like in the Mariana Trench where you're that little submersible goes down and you see an anglerfish or something like that level of creepiness.
Next we have Ben Edwards, our good friend who does the Battle Scribe and does Frantic Gamers.
Yes.
He's doing very familiar. These are the old school, I think he's doing it as Goran, but they're the old school, old Warpath, orcs, the different looking orcs. Than the new ones. He did three of them here. And some of these heads, I don't know if I know the one with the horns. That is definitely not a Mantic head that I know of. It may be, but it's the other two I recognize. They're definitely from the original the command sprue you always got with the crazy boxes or whatever, but that first head and some of the arms, they're coming from somewhere else. I don't know if it's some GW stuff or if it's from something else, but and a very good paint job with the I especially like the cloth where he has all the highlighting on the black. That's really hard to do, I find.
Yeah. I like the he took what were basically chaff models that no one liked because they got them in bulk and really took the time and energy to make them look nice. Like they're good.
Yeah. Nice job. He's got to do some basing there though. Hopefully he based them. They're just on some black discs currently.
Well, I don't know. They kind of look like this. Maybe that's what he was going for. Cause there's a weathered gray. I wonder if he's got a mat that he plays on that's that color.
I think he's gone to the Tyler Schultz school of not basing.
Oh, really?
Well, hopefully he based him later.
Well, Ben, as a friend of the show for quite some time now, if you have based them or you have not, let us know. Because now Rob and I have a
vested interest.
Yeah, there's some resentment between the two of us now. Like we're looking at each other side-eyeing right now going, you know what? This could break up the show.
Yeah. So please answer the question.
Yes.
Next is another good friend of the show, Kevin Riddle. Not Riddell.
No.
Not Ridley.
No, we've been corrected. We have a friend whose last name is Riddell, and I think we've probably said Riddell a couple times. So.
And I think Pat said something bad. And we all know Kevin hates Pat now, so it's all good.
There's a lot of hatred in the.
There's a lot of hate in everyone's hearts.
No. Coach lashes out at people.
I know.
He hates people. Apparently Pat hates people, yeah. Or Kevin hates Pat. What?
Well, he has to hate him because Pat hated him first.
Oh, that's, you know, that's only fair.
But he did a neat thing with his terrain. It's like a system. He did like separate terrain, but he put all the rails so that you could, he put them slightly in so that you could hook the buildings on top and they would sit snugly. Like we're tonight playing these games, we knock these buildings off so often from the top of each other. This would make it so they wouldn't be knocked off.
When you make small modular buildings of two or one, because that's what you do now. Like you glue them together, yeah. You make little cubes and you build, you stack them. Everyone's doing it. He put the railings inside so that they act as a like a connector almost.
Yeah, pressure fit kind of on top.
This is turning the terrain into Lego almost.
Yeah.
Where you can get your hand in there, move it around and stuff.
And it won't just knock over every time you try to grab your quainer out of a... Actually, Jack got a Chovar stuck inside of one of the buildings earlier too.
Yeah, and then you, in your haste to take a quainer out with a Veerman, knocked
everything.
Everything.
Yes, but this would have solved that if we had... Why can't you be from the future and we could have gone into the past and... And done ours like this.
Yeah, Kevin, clearly this is something that is a must do now, like for when you're making a tower or something. It's so smart.
Such a good idea. And that's about it. Thank you for shout outs. If you're interested in sending in some things to be shouted out, either go to Twitter and put @DeadZonePodcast in it. Mark us in it. We'll hook it up or go to deadzonepodcast@gmail.com and send us stuff or go to deadzonepodcast on Facebook. You can go there. Yes. Or you can just, tag us in Facebook posts. We also find a lot of Facebook posts and put them on here and Twitter stuff. We'll find you. We'll find you.
Yes.
We have a certain set of skills.
Ooh, Liam Neeson.
That's right.
Now for a segment we call Our Stuff.
So let's move on to our stuff, Jeff.
Oh, we're not going to take another musical interview?
Nah, let's...
Okay, let's
power through this thing.
Kick the door in. We're here and we're staying.
Yeah.
Put the kettle on.
Jack, our stuff. Have you done any stuff?
Our stuff. Not a goddamn thing.
That's a lie.
Oh.
We're on a bit of a painting Star Saga kick, I think, both of us.
Yeah, we got the Star Saga and... you are going to be playing a ton of Star Saga for Gen Con. You were going to be roped into that. And I thought we were going to play a couple workup games, so I wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
So I started painting, and then eventually it didn't work out.
Never happened, yeah.
So,
And now I'm never playing Star Saga again. So.
Burned out. PTSD.
I got Star Saga PTSD.
When you start seeing those tiles, you just get this 1,000-yard stare looking up.
I start twitching.
Your throat closes up.
One eye just twitches.
Yep. Your ass goes numb.
I have my nose starts smelling BO and I get agoraphobia. What is it when you're afraid of lots of people?
Agoraphobia.
That's what I was trying to say.
And then the only thing that is actually going to cure that is when you open up any Mantic book from now on and see Star Master in it.
It's not going to happen.
That's how it'll make it right.
Yeah. Let's just hope that just fades into the darkness.
How many units did you sell?
Not enough.
Was it 120?
It wasn't that much.
I think it was. I think that's what Pat said, so.
Lies. So anyways.
It was an insurmountable pile that Rob Berman thought was not going to ever be sold.
Yeah, I think that was the thing. He made the bet thinking that there's no way this kid's going to do it.
Oh, no. This plucky young lad's never going
to
do it.
And my voice, I lost my voice and I lost my will to live and I almost died at Mantic Night at Gen Con.
Yeah.
But I sold that stuff.
Yeah, but for the moniker of Star Master being foisted upon you.
Yeah, Star Masturbator. that's what I really want.
That's what you want. Okay. Well, we got a top.
Anyways, Star Saga.
Star Saga.
Jack, you painted some Star Saga.
So I painted Kirby, Wrath, the
Elise is the doctor.
The Elise, the vampire doctor, and the Chovarth, who's the BDSM. So
is that his new name?
No, I call him Charles Chovar, but
that's true. But when he dresses up in that negligee,
but when you hunt him down mercilessly,
it's true.
Well, I don't know if I'll be able to play him again. It was tragic. But anyways, what I did was I went with the normally I just do my own thing, but for the Star Saga, I thought maybe if I went with what the artwork on the box was, I went with the Mantic color schemes and I just tweaked it a little bit for my liking. So the Kirby kind of looks a little more claptrappy and I changed the color of his eye to green, but he's still white with the arms and everything like that. Wrath, I went with the chrome and green. Everything's the same basically as the artwork, except for I left him like, Cobra Commander. I gave him the visor. It was white. So that's how I went different there. Elise,
she's brown head usually, right?
A kind of a flesh colored, a grotesque, veiny flesh colored. I did do her greenish because I liked that. So then her cape I went is flesh colored.
So you're saying she's wearing a flesh cape?
Yeah, she is literally, back to Ed Gein.
Yes. It always comes back to cannibalism, doesn't it, Jack?
It always comes back to cannibalism. Every time. Reunions, bar mitzvahs, I cannot get cannibalism off my mind.
And off your taste buds.
Yes, and then I did the Chovar, the daddy storage unit, and again, I went with all his colors the same. I did the blending on the tentacles and everything, the purples, the blues and stuff. The only thing I didn't do is, in the artwork, he's got orange horns and orange down his back. And I was afraid of orange, so I didn't want to do that. I didn't think I don't even care for it really in the original art either. So I improvised with the colors available. So. If you wanna see them, you can take a gander.
And then you did the security guards.
Well,
you didn't have security guards. What the group he got is there was an open box at Gen Con, and it was taken apart because we needed some parts out of it. So I ended up with the extra miniatures. So I gave them to Jack because I already painted mine, which I'll get into. But so Jack never got security guards. So we only had a bunch of GCPS guys. So you did something unique.
Yes, for the Black Wing, I took the ones that had the open face masks, and I just changed their pauldrons to a blue because that's the color of a security guard, I suppose. And so they looked different. I did the actual Black Wing. They have the closed mask, and I gave them green. So it was just a way to say I want to play them, because I knew I wanted to play them for the campaign.
Yeah.
So I did them, and I also did an aberration.
Yes, but you didn't do your regular aberration.
No, I already have one that's green, and this one, the one I got that I did in the green, the original one, I was so happy with because he's such a good model, but his face, the mold wasn't great in his face, and overall, probably the body itself was, but I was so happy I made him standing up. This one, I decided to go with the manta colors. So it's
of sorts.
It's the reddish body with the white carapace, yeah, with the bony carapace. So I just challenged myself to see what I could do if I was following Mantic's direction.
Yeah. Once again, you tweaked it a bit, though.
A little bit. I went from bubblegum down to Attack on Titan.
Yeah, more fleshy.
And the bone I went with, I've seen people do some really good gray, and I've seen some people do some really good browns. Mm-hmm. And I went basically from browns up to how I usually do bone since I've been...
Yeah, it looks like real bone. Yeah.
Painting since the dawn of time, like... And so I really did enjoy painting him too. And then I did Hacker Halftail.
Yes, the hacker that comes with the set. He's different than the regular Hacker Halftail.
Yes. You know, I didn't
reinvent the wheel.
He's
pretty much like your other Veerman.
He looks just like my other Veerman. So.
And you did the lab techs?
Yes. Now, I didn't do lab techs. I did the,
Oh, there was no lab techs in that set. That's right. They were part of the ones that got given away.
I did the experiment, plague.
Oh yeah, plague victims. Which you did something really weird with those.
Yeah, we were hanging out with Community Pat, and I said, you know, I don't know what to do, and he said yellow.
And that's something you never see, yellow plague guys.
And so, like, my zombies I did are flesh colors going into green. They looked like weird. These guys are a little, they're quite weird. And I gave him teal pants because I have hospital pants that are like that bluish. That looks, I think, locally here in Canada. And I've seen that color a lot for pants.
Yeah, teal pants. Yeah.
So I did a couple head swaps and a couple arm movements that I didn't have. I didn't have the same models, and I like them. But I honestly I didn't spend a ton of time on them because I wanted to get the coiner.
Yeah.
And so last but not least, I did Lucas Coiner, and he is one of my favorite leaders that I've played. He is so fun.
Yeah, just well, his ability to resurrect things is plague.
But he has an It's Burns attack that's kind of short range.
And finally a medic that works because he's got other things to do.
He's got a little bit of everything, and he just was really fun to play.
Yeah.
And I did him. We were doing a hobby hangout. They pull back the curtain a little bit. Some of the people in the Manta community, we kind of just hang out as friends. So, instead of doing my chores and I spent everything I did just, it was gold. It was everything I did was just working out. So I really, really enjoyed painting the model. So I'm glad he looks as good as he does, in my opinion. I think it looks passable. I like that. I like him, and that I did a good job on him because he is coming. Maison Labs is going to be in my rotation for playing for sure.
There you go.
And that should be it. Is that it?
Did we miss anybody? I don't think so.
I don't think so. That's a lot for an hour of stuff. Again, some of this was done a while ago, and catching up. Some of it was done last night. So we're
and then my stuff. I did Alt-Starsag also. I did my plague guys. I did them as a tribute to Jack. I did all my plague guys as green.
And they look like...
I tried to do as close, like, my style, but more close to Jack's green. So I did the dark shadows with the green. And I did their pants kind of dirty white. Because, hey, why not? And I rusted up their heads and helmets and stuff to make them look like they were experiments. I also, for all the bases, I did them gray on top. Because these are for Star Saga. These were never meant to be Maison Labs. So they're, and I did them color coordinated because when I was doing it before, sometimes I would get confused about who was who. So I did all the plate guys green circle around the base. all the security guys, they did orange circle, and then the lab techs, they did yellow. I mean, not yellow, white.
Yep.
And then the GCPS, I did red for some of them, for the regular GCPS, and for the elite ones, I did blue.
We call them GCPS as a comedy thing. We're talking about the Black Wings, the Mercenaries.
Well, they are GCPS. Yeah, they're just, yeah, that's what they are originally.
We, I'm sure Coach, his teeth were grinding every time you did that.
They are GCPS. They're just the Maison Lab version.
It is. It's basically the same thing.
So for the security guards that Jack never got to do because they weren't in the set, and Professor or Commander Graves, I think his name is.
Yes,
I did them in a gray with I chose like orange as everybody's color for the Maison. So they have orange hats and orange shoulder pads, and all their clothes are gray. I tried to make them pretty generic looking. And then for the lab techs, I looked up what a hazmat suit looks like. So they have yellow boots and yellow gloves, and they have the orange shoulder pads. So I wanted to make them look like actual hazmat suits. And for the GCPS, once again, I went just with the gray and with the orange shoulder pads for them. And then I did Coiner, once again. I did him in this. He looks like the lab techs with the yellow and white and orange. And I did quickly, I did the Fear because I had him. And I had this weird like metallic bluish paint. So I was testing out different things with that, with him, to try to see if the how the metallic blue worked.
So we have, at times, when you're something in your mind, and if you have a model, you can just go, okay, I want to see
yeah,
where
try
the,
it out.
See where the where this leads. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. And I did all the mercenaries. I did Dolinsky in a kind of almost camouflage green. I did the devil in his, he has more like leathers on. Same with the dwarf, and same with the survivor, because he's wearing just a leather suit. And then I did Nikolovsky, the Dr. Nikolovsky, in like a blue spacesuit kind of. And then I did her sister, who I just happened to have the model also, the Reb Leader Nikolovsky, I did in greens and kind of silver and grays. And yeah, and I did all the weapons and stuff too. And I like how the sphere turned out. I think they turned out okay. And then lastly, I did Blaine in his power armor with, I was using the Tamiya red for him to get that nice, cherry red. And I did the Monarch. I wanted her to be slightly different, so I did it black and silver instead of the blue and silver I do for the Enforcers usually, so I want to make her look a bit more evil so that she turned out black and silver more than anything. And that's it. That's what we've done. First, we did a bunch of Star Saga.
We did forget one thing I did.
Oh, we forgot something Jack did.
The Blight.
Oh, yes, the Blight. Yes. Speaking of the Nameless.
Yes. You went crazy with him. You got that at Gen Con through some probably nefarious.
Oh, yeah. I robbed a child for that.
You probably,
I rolled a kid for that Blight.
Yep. Yeah. I had a mishap with, I tried a new sealer, and there's a story there that I will spare, but the end result is not as good as it was when I first painted him.
But I think he's still awesome.
The second he's got a beta fish, greens and blues.
Yeah, it goes, I think it's green undercoat, or is it blue undercoat to greens? Yes.
Yeah, and then, it used to be much brighter. His arm used to be much brighter. He used to be much brighter, but I tried a different spray sealer.
And it was really humid.
Yeah, and stuff did not go well. And I was this close, and I'm holding my fingers very, very close to just having to strip them down. And I was crestfallen because he was so bright and so colorful. And then I kind of repaired him.
Yeah. He looks great, though.
Yeah.
And that's it. I think that covers everything.
That should be it.
Had a little bit of a show for September. We caught up on stuff. Pretty soon we'll be getting the Nameless. Now it's pushed back to October, but we're getting the Nameless Wave 2. A lot of people already have the Nameless set that they just ordered online.
Right, right. That has...
Starter sets and the Nameless Terror from the Deep expansion for Star Saga. So we'll be getting to that. We have to play more Star Saga, even though I said I would never play it again. It is a great game, and I will be playing it more. And after playing at Gen Con, I really realized the way to play that game is the Nexus player is the DM and the other players are your players. You're not actually fighting them. You're trying to lead them through the story. So that's, I think it works so much better that way. Yeah. If you're trying to be competitive, some people like that, obviously. I think Pat really likes doing that with Dungeon Saga. He likes being trying to kill the players, but I think the way that game really shines is if you play it like a role-playing game.
Yeah, your job is to keep it competitive and to
keep it interesting, but also progress the storyline and
to get your players.
Like I said, through. I don't know if I actually mentioned on the show, but at Gen Con, I was playing the same scenario hundreds of times, so I was getting bored. So I started just like I'd have the lab techs cowering in the corners and like because they're just I would explain that they just grab some weapons off the desk to defend themselves against these heartless mercenaries who ran in and started murdering everyone. And so I was getting like more and more crazy as I went through. So I'm sure some of these people who were at Gen Con probably got a very strange,
experience
of this person who could barely talk trying to, explain how you were just murdering poor innocent people trying to do their jobs.
Well, you can't argue with success, and your sales say that perhaps that was the
Well, definitely there. It's a role playing environment, and I'm still amazed. Like I was doing Star Saga, and so many people there were like, "I like it, but I want fantasy version." I couldn't believe how many people are still obsessed with fantasy. And as Vanguard comes out, that's the Dead Zone version for Kings of War. Of sorts. It's the skirmish Kings of War. It's just shows that fantasy is entrenched in the world and sci-fi is a secondary to them.
Fantasy is having its renaissance. I'm seeing more and more role-playing D&D. It's still a force.
So. Yeah, it's amazing. After all these years, Tolkien, what did you do? Mm-hmm. What did you do?
his best.
Yeah, I guess make an endearing genre.
Yeah.
Thank you. This has been Dead Zone, the podcast, number 88. 12 more until we stop doing this. I mean, 100.
Yes. Spoilers. Well, the next one will be better. We our backlog is done. We've got the shout-outs, our stuff. The next one will be more exciting. Hopefully this one got you through your commute.
Yes, and hopefully the next one is an unboxing for Star Saga. The wave 2, we'll see. I doubt it. That'd probably be 80 or 90, but we'll see. 89, we'll have to see what's going to happen. Don't forget, there's going to be a DZTV. The patrons are still keeping us above water. Barely, but surely, we're still above that limit where we have to do DZTV. I keep telling you people to stop paying us, but you don't listen.
Yes. So, we'll be doing a unboxing, which is lots of crinkle and, everything else that you want to hear, just let us know. If whatever that we're doing right, let us know. But whatever you think needs to be changed, we're
stop talking to us. We don't want to hear.
No, we're here. We're here. We're part of the community, and we've been doing it for a long time. And it's because of the good, friendly folks in the community that we're still doing it. So
stop sucking up.
Okay.
Also, team building exercise is going to be here.
Yes, it is. So I have to.
Do we already do Veerman?
No,
I'm so like lost on team building.
We just did the Asterians because I made the Asterians meme. So now I'm doing a meme for everyone. So now I have to
meme it up.
Meme it up. The next one's might be a.
Nobody sees these memes.
No. Oh God, no. People on our Discord do. People.
Ixnay and the Discord day.
Oh,
we do have Discord. You can probably find us by searching Dez on the podcast. I don't know. We don't know how to search save. It's a whole new territory for us, so we don't know how to work it. So yeah.
So let's hawk the cafe press, and then we got to get out of here. So go buy a Dead Zone shirt.
Yeah, buy merch.
A hoodie.
Back us on Patreon.
Oh yeah, the Patreons.
And that's it.
We are for sale.
Don't do any of that stuff. I don't care anymore.
We are for sale. Like yeah. That's...
Oh yes. Also, if you want to buy us for anything, we're there.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. For sure.
We work for plastic.
Yeah, well, morally ambiguous as well. In case you want to get like dark kinky. Web. Yeah,
getting kinky in this show of our wearing lingerie.
Yeah,
we've said too much.
So I've been Jack,
and I'm Rob. Come back next month for another enthralling episode of Cherry Whiskey. I mean, Dead Zone the Podcast.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinlando Time Radio Productions.